Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heard on the Street, Street Fights podcast, where we uncover the stories behind the companies and, more importantly, the strategies they are demonstrating today. So what are their challenges and best practices, and what can we all learn from that? So I'm Mike Boland, lead analyst at Street Fight, and our guest today is Adrian Thompson, who is Senior VP of Location Platforms for Gimbal, which is a longtime innovator in retail technology and location-targeted marketing. And to do that, we also have a special co-host, Street Fight President Anne-Marie Steven. So we talked to Adrian and Anne-Marie from our studio in San Francisco. So here's our episode. So hello to you both.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a lot to talk about, including diving deeper into everything I just mentioned. But first, let's start with some quick intros. So Anne-Marie, let's start with you. Our audience already knows you and your voice, but give us a quick reminder about your role at Street Fight and your background.
Yeah, so thanks, Mike. I lead Street Fight. So I'm president of Street Fight, covering, working with our amazing editorial team, Stephanie Miles, Joe Zappa, Mike Boland, who are wonderful people to work with and are delivering great content regarding location-based technologies, connecting the physical digital world, and whatnot. So I've been with Street Fight for a few months now, and we're very excited about the things that we've been doing and working on. And, you know, my background, is in retail and retail tech and innovation and evangelizing new technologies. And I've spent some time in the location space, and I've even written for Street Fight long before I joined the team. And, you know, I became familiar with Gimbal, several years ago in a early days of its introduction to the market. So Adrian, I'm very excited to have you be a part of this conversation and where we are today. So maybe you, Adrian, want to tell us a little bit about yourself and the company. I'd be interested to learn that.
Sure. Perfect. So I run the software as a service business for location platforms at Gimbal. I've been here now almost a year. But I am not at all new to location space. I guess I was previously with another location platform and joined actually right about in 2013 when Apple launched the iBeacon protocol. So I've been doing this a long, long time and really excited to see how much the market has progressed over the past 6 years. And briefly, my background is I've been working at disruptive technology companies, I guess, since I graduated MIT in 2005. So in 2005, I was doing personalization for e-commerce. In 2009, I joined one of the first demand-side platforms, or DSPs. In 2013, I joined a iBeacon and location company, and I joined Gimbal, at the end of last fall. So excited to be here.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you both. So let's actually get right into it. So Anne-Marie, you have lots of questions for Adrian, as do I. But to start things off, Anne-Marie, from your kind of position as I said, thought leader in the world of both retail and location-based marketing and commerce, set the table for us a little bit on kind of the current environment in which Gimbal is playing, and your thoughts on the company's role in that environment, and then we'll kind of let Adrian respond to that.
Yeah, it's obviously a very competitive environment, right? We're really looking at connecting the online and the offline, and brands coming into the market with their own ability outside of retail to connect to the end consumer. So not only is retail being challenged by the online world, we also have, retail brands now, I don't want to say competing, but, having the first time really the ability to connect directly with those consumers, enabling innovative technologies like a gimbal. So it's a pretty compelling time. So, the name of the game, I just heard this morning, an interesting exchange on LinkedIn this morning. Walmart is now going to release in a few locations, just to give you an example, they're going to test delivery directly to your refrigerator. Right. So bringing groceries into your home directly to your refrigerator. And someone responded to my post suggesting, the customer is the channel. And what I've been talking about for several years, having been in the location education space, really, you know, the idea is to connect those consumers and meet them at the time and the place where they're at. So, you know, we've seen the adoption and the proliferation of kiosks, for example, right? And brand-driven kiosks in airports or, you know, entertainment venues or hospitality from a range of not only brands, like Allure Magazine has their own kiosk. CVS Drugstore has their own kiosk. Harry's Dollar Shave Club has their own kiosk that is also location-based enabled, connected to their app, right? Moët Hennessy has their own kiosk where they're selling, you know, miniature champagne bottles at high-end locations, right? So meeting the consumer in the time and the place where they're at in almost an unconventional way or new ways that we just haven't tapped into before. So, you know, Adrian, this is where you become a very interesting person to have on this call, on this podcast, because you've seen the iteration of Beacons through the space. So when we first met and connected, that was something I was most interested in speaking with you about, because it, you mentioned it in your introduction. Beacons were introduced, what, 6 years ago, right? With much hoopla. Much noise in the space. So I'm hoping you could take us back a little bit through history on that, given your own personal depth on the bench in that arena, and then take us through some of how it's evolved over that time from your perspective.
Sure. I'd say, so first of all, I guess I would love to have groceries delivered straight to my refrigerator. So that sounds that sounds exciting.
That brings new meaning to the term last mile.
Yeah, it does.
But it does shift the conversation, right? You know, like thinking differently about what does that mean to an end user consumer and the customer being the channel.
Yeah. So taking us back, I guess I can go in the Wayback Machine to 2013. And just remember, I mean, enterprises in general adopt technologies at a pace that isn't super fast. There's early adopters, there's late adopters. So 6 years is really still pretty early for any new and disruptive technology. I mean, I like, you know, as I mentioned earlier, personalization. I was doing personalization for e-commerce in 2005, and personalization is still a hot topic today and seems to be sort of coming around for its second time. So beacons and location technologies, I think, are still relatively new. So I think when to talk history, I think when beacons first came to market in 2013, as you mentioned, Anne-Marie, lots of hoopla, lots of promise, lots of testing, lots of innovation groups trying this, potentially some overpromise about what those capabilities might be.
And you think, did that happen, Adrian?
I think it did. And some misconceptions, but whatever. I mean, most enterprises, in my experience, did some degree of testing or piloting or proofs of concept or what have you. So the initial thought around a beacon was really, this is about micro-location. And really what people thought about and sort of beacon 1.0, if you want to call it that, was really, hey, can I serve a consumer a coupon when they're either near or in my store?
Right.
So I think that's for the most part what people thought, and many people probably still do think that is, so that's what a beacon is for. That's what location technology is for.
That was, I think, the primary initial idea around it, right? You know, on the couponing side anyway, just to deliver that. I recall that very clearly, right? You know, like what's going to be the ROI and the, you know, how many people, you know, and connecting the app to it and only how many people open the, have the, you know, branded app and for the, then the percentage of those people who open the branded app, you know, that are moving through the aisle, et cetera. So, you know, coupon was the primary method for which, you know, the beacon was thought to be deployed, right? How you would use it to generate an ROI.
Correct. And we saw many, and retailers were the first to adopt this technology. I think it's important to note, actually, we at Gimbal actually work across multiple verticals. So retail, QSR, convenience, fast casual, financial services, hospitality. And again, you're getting beyond verticals where couponing isn't really sort of the end goal of a location strategy. And so folks that as we sort of morph from 2013 to now, yes, coupons are one piece. It's one capability that you do enable with the implementation of a technology like Gimbals. However, I think what smart marketers have learned is that really, so location isn't just, or beacon isn't, I mean, beacon doesn't matter by itself. Ultimately, it's your location data strategy that really matters. And by that, I mean, and I don't think I can name the name, but a big box retailer that I've worked very closely with over the past few years saw location as core to their strategy. And it wasn't about coupons. It was about service. It was about enabling mobile ordering and buy online and pick up in store. So I know you're near the store. I know you're in the store. Make that a personalized experience for the shopper. Again, to meet that shopper where they are. Don't make them wait if they've already ordered. So heavy on service applications, and then also very heavy on omni-channel. So location doesn't exist in this little silo, although many folks who tested technology in 2013 and 14 and 15 probably did silo this, so didn't necessarily see the value that could be achieved, where if this is broadly impacting all of your marketing activities, so the location data is integrated into Salesforce, into Oracle or Adobe or IBM, so it's flowing through all of your marketing efforts and informing those marketing efforts, helping you with targeting, tying the consumer journey together, I think that's where we really see a lot of success. And I think that's sort of the big difference that I've seen between 2013 and today.
You said a mouthful there, so I want to go back and unpack some of that, because my big question would then be how. I'm into tactical use case. I don't understand what you just said to me and these like amazing possibilities that are being used, right? So as we, because it went from a very simple idea of let's try and get a coupon to someone, right? So you just mentioned all kinds of software platforms and integration. So let's pick it apart just a little bit, slow it down and say, okay, so you had, and I don't want you to disclose anything, although I do, you know, that's really what I want. I'd love for you to really share who that customer is. But that being said, help us understand what that means in more of a use case scenario. Would that be possible divulging proprietary information? Again, if that happened, it is what it is, but no, just kidding. Giving you a hard time there, Adrian. So, when you talk about the integration of data use case, what were they thinking about? What was the challenge of any consumer or end user? What are they trying to solve, right? Or what is it they're trying to enhance or do better with?
Sure. And that's probably a long answer and a short answer. I mean, I like to think about location in some ways, especially because we've talked a lot about retail and I've got a lot of experience in retail. You wouldn't operate an e-commerce website today without an Omniture or some other analytics solution that helps you understand the consumer journey. So I think as a starting point, and I mean, I guess I've been talking about this the same way for quite some time, you can think about the physical location, whether it's a hotel or whether it's a retailer, it's kind of a blind spot for the marketing team. And so at base level, think about beacons and geofence as essentially the same thing as pixeling your website. Beginning to understand the consumer path through the store, how frequently they visit, how often they visit, what other competitive locations do they visit. So this client that I've described, I think principally, I came at this from a data perspective, was let me really begin to understand more than I can without location technology, what's going on in my store. And then from there, yes, the technology is deployed in their mobile application, but it's not just about one channel. And I think that, you know, every enterprise has invested pretty heavily in mobile, but if mobile is sort of detached from the rest of your marketing efforts, I don't think it's nearly as powerful as when you take a location technology, you take Gimbal,
And now you're able to understand the behavior of your consumer in the physical world.
Ultimately, no, I think I get that. Yeah. So, well, let me ask you this then. So if you can share anything that's sort of a use case or tactical and walk me through that, I think that could be really helpful for our audience. You know, 73% of consumers use different channels while shopping, for example. How could location data, because you just described a seamless omni-channel experience, right? So how could that be done across all devices and platforms in whatever offline environment you choose, hotel, QSR, doesn't matter. But can you walk me through an example of a use case of that?
Yeah. I'll give you some very sort of short, I guess, specific types of use cases. The one that I'm sort of most excited about this year and last year and next year is buy online, pick up in store. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that. I think there was a recent eMarketer article that said that retailers, the top item on their shopping list for 2019 is location technology. And I think it's those service applications that are most driving that buying decision. So I guess we can move from big box. Let's talk about pharmacy. I think every consumer, present company included, has gone to one of the large pharmacies. Your prescription's not ready. You're annoyed. The kids are getting grouchy. You're waiting 10 minutes to pick up your prescription. It's not a great experience. Versus with the implementation of location technology, either geofence and or beacons. You can do geofence alone or add on beacons if you want more micro-location. Now I know that you're near the store, and I know that you're on the way to pick up your prescription, and I can actually trigger an event in the pharmacy back-end system. Let the pharmacist know that Adrian is here to pick up his prescription. And then while I've got that profile there, your prescription's ready, I can now personalize that visit. So maybe there's other prescriptions you should be picking up. Maybe I built a clienteling application that would then suggest other items that you might need while you're in the store. So I think ultimately we all expect, because of little companies like Amazon, we expect the online experience to be highly personalized, recommendations, relevant items, purchase history. We expect all of that. And again, the implementation of a gimbal ultimately enables that same kind of use case in the physical world. Does that make sense?
Sure. So if we're going into a physical location, so you're connecting the online and the offline world, and then the beacon is triggered once you're, you have a connectivity between bridging that communication, right, from leveraging mobile, I guess, is what you're suggesting, and then triggering within the physical environment once they arrive. And one of the examples is providing a better experience and knowing who the customer is once they arrive, which I think is pretty amazing.
Yeah. And actually, one thing I read the eMarketer article, a side note, which of course AI seems to be the shiniest new toy that is in market this year. And I just like to call out the fact that AI location technology investment is a higher priority for most brands than AI. So I think that says a lot about.
Well, Yeah, I think you make a very interesting call because, when you said that, my first thought was when you talk about location technology investment, having been in the space as long as you have, as long as I have, as long as even how Street Fight has been around for, going on 10 years, that we're saying that now in 2019, that's going to be the priority of investment after 10 years of it being available in the marketplace, right? So it demonstrates the evolution of the adoption of technology and what's necessary. And I think isn't that something though? We look at where we're at on that trajectory, right? I mean, beacons were introduced, we talked about at the beginning, 6 years ago. So they had to find their way in the iterate along the way, find, where it made sense, and also be evangelized and introduced to the marketplace, So I'm happy to hear that location is a top priority.
So I think another key distinction here is, Adrian, when you were talking about the pharmacy example, the technology is being used as a service to consumers or to shoppers, as opposed to a means to target them with, you know, brand messaging or retail messaging to increase their basket size that day. So it's more of a long-term play towards customer retention and service. And I think that concept, if you broaden back to the larger kind of retail scape, you know, we're hearing lots of buzzwords, especially like over the last 2 years, things like retail apocalypse, and there are a lot of retailers and gloom and doom retailers going out of business, etc. But I think if you really look at the whole picture, there are retailers that are really thriving today, the Targets of the world, some of the retailers you mentioned, because they're doing exactly those things you espouse, utilizing the technology as a service to shoppers, as opposed to something to talk at them. So, I mean, is that a fair assessment in terms of the overall kind of intent of the technology being deployed?
Yeah, I like that a lot. I mean, I think if we're drawing back to Anne-Marie's initial comment with meeting the consumer and putting the groceries in the fridge, you're correct. I would agree 100% that it's not about sending a push notification or interrupting somebody. It's about just making their shopping experience, their hotel experience, that much better. Again, bringing in other buzzwords, and I'll just do it for fun. Leveraging location technology plus AI plus personalization to deliver a better omni-channel consumer journey.
Can we name names? I mean, I mentioned Target. There are others that you hear in the news that are thriving in terms of just their quarterly earnings. But are there any others you'd point to as best practices?
Yeah, I mean, I would look at a number of our clients, I think, really, and actually probably Sephora is one that I would highlight. And I think they've gotten just a ton of, I mean, they're doing some very cool things and are continually lauded and awarded for their efforts in mobile and digital. I think that's one I would call out.
They're doing a lot with augmented reality in terms of kind of virtual try-ons at the makeup stand.
Yeah,
they are. So here's one, you know, cautionary tale on that, and that's a great example. Because I as much as I love sunshine and roses for technology, you know, there are challenges, right? We have to be thoughtful around how we implement technology. And I think, you know, having a specific purpose use case and knowing your customer, who they are and what the purpose is for implementing technology is really critical, right? So I'm glad we're talking about Sephora. As successful as they are, part of their success comes because the company has allowed them to be innovative, right? Right? You know, it's a top-down initiative and not every innovation wins, right? And I'm going to give you a very specific example. But that's the part of technology and end users, whoever the end user is. When I say end user, it's whoever that offline location is or offline customer or your end user customer, be it a QSR, a hotel, it doesn't matter, right? Retail, brand. In this case of Sephora, it's so important in any situation that you know who your customer is. And we say that a lot. We did say the customer is the channel, you know, which is very important. Now, the next thing is it gets talked about, but I don't know if I see it as much in implementation. And maybe, Adrian, you can speak to this in a second. But, you know, who is your customer and what is it you're trying to do? So in the case of Sephora, in my neighborhood, so I live in New York City, and on the Upper West Side, they put in the new store format. The store happens to be steps outside of my front door, so it's not hard for me to go see. So the new store format, you know, is a seamless experience. And mobile, you know, there's no POS, and it's basically a mobile-only location, right? So they've put that new store format in. It has been very successful. But it's not successful on the Upper West Side. So what they did is they flipped it back to an original store format with a queued up POS. Why? Because the consumer on the Upper West Side is not a mobile first customer. They are not. In Brooklyn, it's a great success. So that being said, when we're thinking about new technologies, and I think, Adrian, you could really speak to this as you're out there talking to all kinds of end user customers on maybe setting the table for what makes a great, successful initial way to approach these engagements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it obviously is important that that's a great example of the difference between the mobile first customer in Brooklyn versus the Upper West Side. And I think what we do, and we've got hundreds of clients now, and then I've been doing this for a long, long time. Really, before you think about location technology, or I'd like to buy some beacons, or can we try geofence, or what have you, we always step back with our clients to find out what are they actually trying to achieve. So what is the ultimate goal? Because technology is technology. It's there to help you solve a problem. But if we can't understand and really describe the problem or the opportunity, then the technology implementation is not going to be successful.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one thing that we do, I guess religiously with all of our customers, is we spend a lot of time, frankly, a lot of time on use case and those types of things, and less time really talking about technology. And I guess, again, back to a previous question, in 2013, people talked a lot about the technology and how does it work and all that stuff. The technology works, and it's improved year after year. And now really, it's really focusing on a use case. And the other problem that, or other sort of trap to avoid is there may be, I could probably rattle off 20 wonderful use cases that would work for a QSR. The problem is that's too many. And we don't play.
It is. I always think it's about three, right? When you first initially engage, it's like identifying three key things that you want to do, because, and to remain focused on those three key questions you want to ask. It may be one. I don't know what you tell people, but I've found in my experience that that's about a max, on what you'd want to look at.
I think so. Yeah, I would say one to three, and nail those, and you can expand from there. I mean, don't think from day one that you will have this data integrated across every marketing and analytics system that you have in house. Let's start with a specific use case, like, I don't know, in QSR, improve operational efficiency in the drive-thru. So let's just start with that. And then, of course, there's a whole bunch of rich data that's being spun off of the location technology. But again, let's start with that, because you get into a far more complex situation when you've got multiple business units or functional groups that would all benefit from location. But let's start with something simple, deliberate, important, and then grow from there.
I agree 100%. So let's talk about that for 2 seconds. Then what do you believe the organizational challenges are that brands faced when they're implementing location data as a strategy? What do you see that the pitfalls that they can fall into? Or
sure.
Maybe we identify the pitfalls and let's talk about how to avoid them. That's the other side. I'm like, let's go glass half full. If it's like when you work out, you've got to work both muscle groups. So
that's right,
the opposing
that's right.
muscle group. So that's what we'll do here.
Yeah. So pitfalls. It impacts, or there can be multiple different functional groups that need to be involved and can benefit from, or need to be involved and need to implement. So IT, store operations, marketing, mobile product, e-com, you name it. And so I think that's probably the challenge. I don't think it's a pitfall, but it's a challenge. And
yeah.
Companies that I've worked
with, they all have different, kind of goals and objectives, right? And then, trying to communicate and get the KPIs, who's most interested in what KPI, what do they want to drive, which I think is why it's so important to identify those, as we just talked about, the 1 to 3 data points or 3 objectives that you're trying to achieve, keeping it very focused and very simple.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that the way that successful retailers or folks in other spaces have avoided this trap with this issue is, it's a more trite terms for this podcast, but you need cross-functional teams to focus on this together in most cases. And I've seen that be extremely successful when at your kickoff meeting, you've got all those groups I named. They're all there, they're aligned, they all know what they're trying to achieve, and they can go and do it. Versus in other cases, you may have come in, or the technology was brought in, let's say, by mobile product, but they haven't sort of engaged closely with the omni-channel folks or the store ops people are in a different building with a different reporting hierarchy, and that can slow things down and make things really, really challenging. So cross-functional alignment, I think, is critical.
Do you think that that's the most important thing when deploying something, or do you have a different idea of how to you know, if I were going to call you up, Adrian, I need you to come in and see me and talk to me about gimbals and getting beacons in, and I want to connect with my consumers. We'll go back to the very first examples in my pharmacy, right, and do a notification. Or you can pick a different example. It's fine. But just something to ground it. You know, I'm going to go into the pharmacy. What should be the first thing that we do together? How do I do that?
Yep. It's a good question. So what I would say is, again, we spend a lot of time with a lot of upfront planning and strategy. So taking a step back even further, which is make sure that we're not just buying technology for technology's sake, but that we've well-defined our use case, we've well-defined the implementation, we've got a wonderful services team to help with all of that, and then really just take things...
Because you work with so many people that you can, I would say, shortcut that process. You know, here are some successful ways to get this implemented. Yeah.
So we come to the table with best practices, with benchmarks, with success stories, and maybe not success stories. I mean, this is still new technology. So, yeah, I think that there's probably a higher level of consulting and services that we uniquely bring to our clients, that may even back up clients. Say, hold on, let's ask a few questions, and maybe not slow down a little bit, but be a little bit more thoughtful about sort of the reason for the interest and why they found our website.
That's great. So we're getting close to, I think, wrapping this up, Mike Boland. You'll keep us on track. But I want to ask you, I have one question, Mike. I don't know if you have anything else. But, you know, Adrian, you know, as we move into 2019, 2020, what mobile experience are you most excited for that you think location intelligence will be able to power in the near future?
Sure. I could give you a really long answer, but I'll go short on this. I mean, I think I've sort of been beating the drum on service applications, but really thinking about how mobile can uniquely help shoppers or help diners when they're in the location. So I think Sephora does this, and I know others do, is like, what about an in-store mode? I think all mobile apps in the sectors that I've described should have in-store capabilities, whether it's leveraging location for wayfinding if you're a big retailer like Macy's, or whether it's enabling a more seamless pickup experience for curbside drop-off at CVS. So I think we're starting to see some of these things be implemented in physical locations, but I think we'll see a lot more of that over the next couple of years.
And when you're talking to folks, do you think they're going to implement? And I'm not going to try to get you to unearth your strategy and your play-by-play, but I'm just curious, just as taking the temperature, are you feeling and sensing, you know, that the market is ready to take action?
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's actually really that. I think in our sectors, it's in particular buy online, pick up in store, or mobile ordering for McDonald's, or those types of things that are really sort of leading that prioritization of the implementation of location technology this year.
Interesting. And when on the marketing side of things, I'm going to ask you a similar question. You know, do you see that? Do you see service as a marketing tool then, or do you see marketing as an addition to those service tools?
I guess I'd sort of group them all together. I think the consumer experience is, I mean, that's your product, right? That's the whole thing from when you walk into the location to when you walk out, hopefully with an increased basket size. So, I think, again, especially in retail, we talk more and more about sort of the experience as the product versus sort of the product as the product. So the whole experience.
Okay, that's definitely an open door to a potential next episode for sure. You're 100% right on that. And you and I totally agree, because it is a cohesive brand experience across, we talked about omnichannel, across your physical, digital, mobile, that cohesive experience and engagement with your brand, be it retail, consumer brand, hotel, QSR, whatever it is, that cohesive experience, the experience is the product.
Well, that's all the time we have. That's a good place to end it. So I'd like to thank you both for spending time with us today.
All right. Well, thank you for having us, and nice to meet you both.
Yeah. And thank you all for listening. So stay tuned for future episodes of Heard on the Street. You can find us on streetfightmag.com. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Also stay tuned for lots more writings and multimedia from Street Fight. So this has been Heard on the Street. I'm Mike Boland. Thanks for listening.